Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome everybody. It's wonderful to be in your company today. It is Wednesday afternoon. It is 11 minutes past 2 on Wednesday afternoon. It is the 11th of Nisan and it is a couple of days to go till Pesach. We have an incredible week ahead of us. Beautiful, beautiful time of the Chag of Pesach, and we are greatly looking forward. But this year, there are several differences. Differences not to the Chag itself, but actually to the start of it all. How will we get there? Because, as we know, Pesach begins on Saturday night, on Motzei Shabbos, on the end, after the end of Shabbos, on Saturday night, Pesach begins. Brings with it a whole lot of different interesting complications, interesting things that have to be done. And believe it or not, they actually start tomorrow. Tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening, there are things that we have to bear in mind and we have to know, even though it is only, or it is still, a couple of days to go till Pesach, because all the rules and all the customs and everything that has to do with Pesach actually starts kicking in from tomorrow morning. But we'll be back to explain all of that after we just think about the power of today. Today is the 11th day of Nisan. The 11th day of Nisan has a deep and profound significance for our generation because it was the birth date in 1902 of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He was born on the 11th of Nisan, Yud Aleph Nisan. It became etched in our customary and our behaviors from way back when. When we think about the idea of the birth date of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it's a moment to think about, or a day to think about, the profound influence, the profound power over the entire Jewish world, and dare I say over the world per se, that the Rebbe actually had. It's interesting to note, for those of you who haven't been watching the Jewish news lines, that just this week, in honor of the Rebbe's birthday, the block of the street on which the Rebbe lived was named for the Rebbe as Lubavitcher Rebbe's Way. It's an interesting thing that you actually have that now in Brooklyn, New York, in Crown Heights, that part of the street where the Rebbe lived, present was and is the extent of President Street, has been named in honor of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, an incredible citizen of that street. An incredible Rebbe, an incredible teacher, a person whose love and care for the Jewish people knew no bounds, absolutely no bounds. It did not matter who you were, where you came from, what your standing was in life, whether you were Hasidic, whether you were Lubavitch, or whether you were even on the opposite side, whether you were Ashkenazi or you were Sephardi, it made absolutely no difference. I can remember once standing in a queue waiting to receive a dollar from the Rebbe on a Sunday. The Rebbe used to give out dollars for people to give to tzedakah and empower them, not only with a mission of charity and a mission for mankind, for others, but also with a blessing, a bracha, that people queued up for hours. Waiting for that moment when the Rebbe would look them in the eyes and give them this mission, make them part of the system of giving, of being kind, of doing kindness for another, at the same time giving them a blessing, giving them a bracha for their life. And standing in front of me was a group of Polish Catholics, a Catholic group of Polish people who were visiting New York, and they had come to see, as they put it, the Holy Man. And there they stood, and one by one filed by the Rebbe, and the Rebbe gave them the same moment of an intense gaze, the moment of a blessing, the moment of empowerment, giving them their dollar to give to charity, to give to somebody less fortunate than themselves. This was always, and still is, the power of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. Born, as we said, in 1902 on this day, Yud Aleph Nissan, the 11th of Nissan, a few days before Pesach. It is an incredibly powerful day. The day of one's birthday is a day that is etched into one's own life, but it actually continues even afterwards. And the day of the birthday when Hashem chose to send that individual, that neshama, into this world, and particularly when it is somebody of the caliber of the Lubavitcher Rebbe that came into this world in 1902 on this day, on the 11th of Nisan, it wasn't by chance, it wasn't random, it was something that was exactly the right time, the right person, the right individual who came to try and fix and try and help and try and change and make the world a far, far better place. And of course, enrich the world with his teachings, with his blessings, with his kindness, and with his incredible reach to people from all walks of life and everywhere in the world. And dare I say that even here in Joburg, in South Africa, the incredible power of the Rebbe is felt through the emissaries of the Rebbe, the shluchim of the Rebbe, the rabbis and rebbetzins who continue putting into place and into practice the Rebbe's reach, the Rebbe's work, the Rebbe's teaching, the Rebbe's special care for each and every individual. And of course, the abundance of shuls, Chabad houses, activities, schools, yeshivas, and so on, goes without saying that each and every one of us have been and will continue to be influenced by the Rebbe, even if not directly, but through a project, through a program, we may realize it, we may not realize it. And possibly on this day, as was mentioned last night at a special event commemorating this date, it's time to, on the day of the Rebbe's birthday, to perhaps pause for a moment and be grateful and say thank you and show Hakaras HaTov, Hakarat HaTov to the Rebbe for all the wonderful things that he did and the kindnesses that he himself personally gave, but then continued and empowered. It was always the Rebbe's way to make things continue, to make them continue through the people that he empowered. That was the idea of those giving of those dollars, to make people emissaries, to make them shluchim, a shliach who goes on his behalf in order to do good and great and wonderful things and prepare the world for the coming of Mashiach.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Welcome back, and yes, Taira Brida, my dear brothers, that's the song we just heard from Avrom Fried, the song of my dear brothers, we will meet again, and let's meet up soon, and hopefully God will give us health and happiness and the opportunity to travel together to the Rebbe, and there we will meet an eternal kind of a greeting between Hasidim, looking forward to the next Chag, to the next Yom Tov, to the next opportunity when we can be together, when we can fabreng, when we can have a good time, and we can gain from the spiritual environment of the Rebbe, learning from the Rebbe, understanding what the Rebbe stood for and what he was all about. And of course, very appropriate for Yud Aleph Nissan for this special day. But we have a week ahead of us that is unusual, exceptional. If you don't remember this happening in the past, that the first Seder is on a Saturday night, well, it did happen in 2021. It happened during the days of COVID. Perhaps it kind of got fudged over because of the days of COVID. Everything was upside down. And so this being a little bit different didn't really dawn on us that well. Before that, probably around about 2005, 2006, somewhere around there, was also a Saturday night. And the good or the bad news is that this isn't going to happen again for another 20 years, till the year 2045. Will be the next time that Pesach will start on a Saturday night. Isn't that quite amazing? And it does this year that the first Seder is on Saturday night. But that means that the fast of the firstborn, which usually takes place on Erev Pesach, is brought forward. It cannot take place on Erev Pesach, which is Shabbos, because we cannot just fast a fast like this on Erev Shabbos, on a Shabbos. We cannot move it to an Erev Shabbos. The only fast that can be on an Erev Shabbos, by the way, is Asara B'Tevis, is the 10th of Tevis, so this one strikes out there as well, and therefore it's brought forward to Thursday. So tomorrow is the fast of the firstborn, so all firstborn males need to fast tomorrow, unless they are present at and participate in a festive meal, an obligatory festive meal where one should eat and drink and be merry, and therefore we try with this fast to, in inverted commas, cancel it out, to take it away. But the only way we can do that is the presence at a festive meal. Now, how do we do that? How do we make sure that there's a festive meal taking place? We make a siyum, completion of a tractate of Talmud, which will take place in most shuls around the world tomorrow morning, especially for the bechorim, for the firstborns, so that they can come hear the siyum, participate in that learning experience for a few minutes or for as long as it takes, and then to participate in the meal that follows afterwards, to say a mazel tov, to say l'chaim to the person who completed the tractate, and to all of us for participating and learning together with them. And at that siyum, then to be obligated actually to eat something as part of that system. So the fast is there, but we try and circumvent it. It's the only one that we do this for and that we're allowed to do it for, and of course because of the onset of Pesach. So that all takes place tomorrow morning. Tomorrow evening we already do Bedikat Chametz. Now Bedikat Chametz, the search for the Chametz, Bedikas Chametz, is supposed to take place on the evening before Pesach. Now there again, the evening before Pesach is Friday night. We cannot search for anything. We certainly can't light a flame and walk around with it in the house in the tradition of the candle, the feather and the spoon. We cannot use that on Friday night, of course, because of Shabbos. And so that too is brought forward a day. And we do that tomorrow night. So tomorrow night, after nightfall, we do Bedikas Chametz. So setting out the Chametz, placing it around your home, going around with the family. Everybody should be present, making the bracha al biur chametz, on the search of Chametz. And we go around and do that bedika, that search for the Chametz. As people have often mentioned, you don't have to find Chametz, but you do have to search. So the search is the obligation, not the finding. We do traditionally put out some Chametz that we do find some and put it together, but the idea is to actually search. So we're supposed to go around, check it out, do all of that, and that happens tomorrow evening. Then, by Friday morning, at approximately 9:30, our chametz has to be sold. So we're selling our chametz, and the proviso that the Beth Din will put into the contract is that the chametz will actually be officially sold just before Shabbos, with the exception of the little bit of chametz, which we'll talk about just now, that you're going to need for Shabbat, that you're going to need for Shabbos. Now, therefore, we need to make sure that we have signed the forms, sold our chametz. It can be done, of course, online as well. So be in touch with your rabbi or the Beth Din, or go to ChabadSouthAfrica.org and look for the sale of chametz logo there, and follow the prompts and do what you got to do in order to sell your chametz. You can do that online. That is 100%. Permissible. So the sale of chametz has to have taken place by Friday morning. The Beth Din wants all of the forms and everything in, of course, by about 9:30. So by then, we need to make sure that that's all done. And they hand it over to a non-Jew who purchases the chametz for the duration of Pesach. Now, on Friday, we can still eat and drink chametz. Why? Because it's not yet, we haven't yet done the final biur chametz, the actual nullification of chametz. But on Friday morning, we do have to burn whatever it was that we found on Thursday evening. So the burning of the chametz takes place still on Friday morning. at the same time as we would have done had it been Erev Pesach, so approximately 10:15, 10:30 on Friday morning, we do the burning of the chametz. We do not say that kol chamira, that nullification. That all has to take place on Shabbos. We now go into Shabbat, and on Shabbos, we've got to remember that our houses have had to have been changed over already. We have to be Pesach Dik at home. We have to be eating on Pesach Dik vessels. If we're using crockery and cutlery and so on, if you're using disposables, it's a different story, but we've got to have our Pesach Dik at home, and at the same time, we still have to have Shabbat meals. So how does one affect this? Well, the most practical way is to make sure that everything actually is already Pesach Dik. So yes, this year we're going to be keeping, in inverted commas, an extra day of Pesach Dik foods, eating Pesach Dik foods on Friday night and Shabbos. Except for the small amount of chametz that we have and that we're allowed to set aside for Shabbos. And that is that on Friday night and on Shabbat morning, we need to make hamotzi in order to constitute a meal, because we cannot eat matzah, because we're not allowed to eat any matzah on Erev Pesach, because it is going to be in the Pesach Seder, and we don't eat matzah, we don't eat any of the things from the Seder plate, or the ingredients thereof, so one wouldn't eat apples and nuts, because they're part of the charoset. We wouldn't eat maror, because it's part of the Seder plate, and we don't eat matzah. So here you have a bit of a complicated kind of an event on Shabbos. We've got to wash for our motzi. We need to make our motzi on proper hamotzi, on proper challah, on proper bread, or pita. And actually, they recommend pita as being better than something that is going to create a lot of crumbs. We've got to make sure that we don't create those crumbs, and certainly not in the house that you've cleaned for Pesach. So you might want to do the hamotzi like on a patio or in your garden and so on, eating the breadcrumbs and consuming it all. Anything that is not consumed on Friday night or on Shabbos morning needs actually to be flushed down the toilet. We've got to get rid of it out of our possession on Shabbos, because remember, it wasn't sold. You can't just go and stick it in with your sold stuff for Pesach. You can't get rid of it in any other way other than just either ingesting it or getting rid of it in the most practical fashion is down the drain. So that is something that is really peculiar to this year's Shabbos practice of Erev Pesach. Make sure that you have done that. You can then go back inside once you've brushed off all the crumbs, etc., and eat the rest of your Shabbat meal. That's both on Friday night and on Shabbat morning. But now, here is added complication. Shabbos morning, our chametz has to be completely consumed by 9:30 on Shabbos morning. So 9:30 Shabbos morning, we've got to make sure that we have consumed those challahs, which means that we have to, and we can only eat a Shabbos meal after we have finished davening. So in most shuls around the country, around the world, the simplest way to effect this all is to daven really early, so Shabbat morning. The prayer services, Shacharit and Musaf, will be really early. Most shuls, probably in Joburg, starting at about 6:30, quarter to 7, somewhere around there, in order to be able to finish in time, in order to be able to enable people to go home, make hamotzi, start your Shabbos meal, say the kol chamira. Remember that kol chamira needs to be said by about 10:30 on Shabbos morning, in order to nullify whatever we may have not known about, that may be lying around, etc., and that we haven't found in our searches, in our checking our house, etc. Remember, once it's nullified, it's really nullified. It is not what you have sold to the non-Jew. It's not what you've done as part of your sale. And there are all sorts of questions about if you find that chametz on Pesach itself, what you've got to do with it. Perhaps you best advised to ask your own rabbi as to what you should do if such an eventuality arises. But this is the system. Early start Shabbos morning, early lunch, in inverted commas, or brunch on Shabbos, it does enable us to come to the Seder a little bit more relaxed, because we've also got to remember that on Shabbos itself, one may not do anything to prepare for the Seder. All your Seder preparations need to be done today, tomorrow, or on Friday. You need to really be ready with your charoset mixed together, with your grated chrein, if that's what you do, with your washed lettuce, if that's what you have for the maror, with everything actually prepared. The Seder table should not and cannot be set on Shabbos itself. It can only be done after Shabbos. Once Shabbos is out, which I imagine is in the region of 6:20 in Joburg, but we have to make sure on that time, and then go ahead and say Baruch Hamavdil Ben Kodesh L'chol. We've got to do a differentiation part of Havdalah. We've got to make that blessing in order to differentiate and show that we're showing a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, and then one can start preparing the Pesach Seder table, putting out the plates, laying the table, getting things ready for Shabbos and for Yom Tov, and of course for the Seder, and of course lighting of candles on the second night, being Saturday night, second night of the three-night event, or first night of Yom Tov and the second night of Yom Tov, need to be done from an existing flame, one that burnt through from before Shabbos. You cannot strike a match, you cannot start kindling a flame. We need to make sure that there is one that existed, so that also has to be prepared, of course, before Shabbat, to enable you to light candles for the two Sedarim, for the two Seder nights. So a little bit complicated, a little bit different. There's a lot written about it, and I'm sure you'll be able to Google it, look it up online, or, as I'm also sure, your particular shul has probably sent you a whole lot of information about how this Saturday night, first night Seder, actually is going to be working for you.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
Hi and welcome back. Great to be with you, and we're talking things to do with Pesach. Well, the build-up is a little different, but from then on in, it is back to what we are used to with Pesach, with one great exception, and that is whenever things happen in a kind of an unusual way in Torah, and in our calendar, they're accentuated and they're highlighted. And we kind of have the feeling that there is really something truly special about these unique differences. And instead of looking at it as something difficult or a hardship, or, you know, kind of why do we have to eat chametz outside, and why do we have to eat Pesachdika foods on the Shabbos, it seems to be an add-on, it seems to be extra. There clearly is a spiritual dimension to all of this, and that is that there is something really unique about this Pesach. Yes, not to be too clever, but to coin the phrase, why is this Pesach different from every other Pesach, is something that, from a real kind of a deep down spiritual sort of a feeling about Pesach, and about Judaism in general. When you have these unique kind of events, they're not unique for nothing. It's not there to be disregarded. It's not there to be fussed about or complained about. On the contrary, we should actually probably be going out of our way to make them even more special. This Pesach is more special because it's got these unique differences. It gives us an opportunity to not only do something different, but to accentuate that difference and to think about how that difference makes us different. We are, we truly, isn't that what Pesach is all about? It's never mind just the fact that you know that for a week you're going to have that sort of matzah feeling in your stomach, and that kind of heaviness that you have from the wine after the Seder, and that you're going to wake up late on the Yom Tov mornings because of the Pesach Seder hangover, and you're going to be forcing yourself to eat copious amounts of maror and all sorts of other things that go with the Pesach Seder and the Pesach experience. But there is something when it comes in this format of being somewhat unique that makes it a unique Pesach. And perhaps what we've got to think about is the uniqueness is something that speaks to the uniqueness of Am Yisrael, the uniqueness of the Jewish people, and then again, the uniqueness of God. It is not just natural, and it's not just ordinary. It's exceptional. As we had with, and we spoke about it a month ago when we talked about a three-day Purim Meshulash, a three-day Purim. Here we have a three-day Pesach of the first days, and it's somewhat unique. It's really, really different. And with those differences, to think about here, wow, isn't this great? We're actually starting Pesach even earlier. There's an enthusiasm to get it started. There's an enthusiasm to be strict on what Pesach is all about, getting rid of the chametz, getting rid of the arrogance, getting rid of the self-centeredness, getting rid of, in inverted commas, the hot air that we often think that we are full of, and making sure that we are humble, like the matzah, that we are eating what is lechem oni, a bread of poverty, or as is often translated as the bread of affliction, and we're transforming it. We're making it into the bread of redemption. We're making it into a memento, a memory, and a feeling of geula, of redemption. And it all comes just a little bit earlier and with a little bit more of an accent and a little bit more of an emphasis this year over all the other years. And that really, really makes it exceptionally special. Be back with you to sum up right after this.
Get back to basics with Judaism 101 with Rabbi Michael Katz.
So it's a power day of the 11th of Nisan. Tomorrow, power day of the 12th of Nisan. And then the next day, a power day of the 13th of Nisan. And that is the incredible build-up to the 14th of Nisan, Shabbos. And then the 15th of Nisan, Sunday, the first day of Pesach. Power days, the power of the day today, Lubavitcher Rebbe's birthday, Yud Alef Nisan. Power day tomorrow, the beginning of our Pesach events. The fast of the firstborn, followed by Bedikat Chametz that takes place on Thursday evening, followed by Friday, the day on which we actually are kind of bringing forward Erev Pesach and making it a two-day event of Friday and of Shabbos. The enthusiasm to keep Pesach, the enthusiasm to celebrate our redemption, the enthusiasm for the geula, for the redemption, may it come speedily in our time, is accentuated on these build-up days to the coming beautiful Chag, the beautiful festival of Pesach. So I want to wish you a great rest of the week, a great Shabbos up ahead. It is Shabbat HaGadol, albeit that we will probably be having a smaller and less kind of powerful prayer and davening and kiddush, bracha, etc., and all the complications and interesting things that we're going to be doing and going to be having. It makes it exciting. It makes it incredible. And we look forward to it greatly. I want to wish you all a happy and kosher Pesach, a kosher und freilichen Pesach. Hope your sedarim are everything that you dreamed that they would be. And hope your Pesach is not only a commemoration and a celebration of things in the past when we got out of Egypt and all that it meant to us as a nation, but hopefully it will spell the time of redemption, geula, not only for the hostages who are still being held, and may they be redeemed soon, but please God, for the whole of Am Yisrael, for the whole Jewish people and the whole world, with a geula hashlema v'amitis, an absolute redemption with the coming of Mashiach. And hopefully when we open the door for Eliyahu Anovi, for Elijah the prophet, at our Pesach Seder, he'll be there to tell us Mashiach has arrived and we're on our way together to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. May it happen immediately now. Wish you all well. Look forward to being back with you same time, same place next week, another exciting episode of Judaism 101.9.